9 years. And we won't be the vote for very long. It's in times like these that it's the charge of the speaker to not only speak the word of the Lord, but to see whether you can tie, but you can tie everything. And I notice here that in this last paragraph it says, "My God, open the doors that no man closes." I want to invite your attention to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. When you have the text that you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord.
The year of open doors.
the years of open doors. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you. We ask that you use your servant as an instrument to speak to this great people. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thank God that I see my deacons have made it. New York can do a little shopping. Hear that. The year of open doors. While exiled on the island of Patmos, the Apostle John received revelation from Jesus Christ that we now call the Book of Revelation. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It talked down through the years that the Lord's Day, it refers to the millennial reign. And so he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Spirit of God took John and placed him between the church age and the coming of the kingdom. And he said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia Minor, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis, unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then in verse 17, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. In other words, it's all right, John. Fear not. It's all right. I am the first and the last. And I look at that and it caught my attention. He says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. We don't turn to see a voice. We turn to see a person. And he says, and I was turned and being turned. It's as something was turning John. And he saw Jesus. In this vision, Christ gave John seven messages for seven first century churches in Asia Minor. When you read about the personalities of these churches, you will discover that each one thought it was organized, called out, band believers. Each one had a different trait. Ephesus, the largest of the seven, was known as the loveless church. The condition found in this church was a condition that was common today. They were a busy church, a self-righteous church, a critical church, and a persistent church. However, the Bible says that they had left their first love. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, the first love of the church should be Jesus. The church exists because of him, And everything in the church should be centered around Jesus. The church should love Jesus above anything else because it is his church. How can we have a church and ignore Jesus? He is our first love. Smyrna was known as the suffering church. It was the church that went through the most trials and tribulation. But though they were going through, they remained faithful to God. Pergamos was known for being a compromising church. Pergamos was nicknamed Satan's City. The Christians in Pergamos were surrounded by pagan beliefs and practices. In spite of their faithfulness, the Christian in Pergamos had compromised their faith in the Lord Jesus. They allowed idolatry to creep in to their congregation. But then in our text, we see that he writes to the church of Philadelphia. And Philadelphia was not a loveless church. The laws are the loyal. The lasciviousness for the lifeless group born, but Philadelphia was the loving church. And so when you analyze the seven churches, what's additionally interesting is that when John writes to these seven letters, write these seven letters, he makes a point to introduce Jesus Christ, and he wants them to know that even though he's writing these letters, that these words are not his words. These words are the words of Jesus. And so John, he takes the time and he introduced Jesus. And what's interesting about this is he makes seven different introductions of Jesus. When you read how John addresses all seven churches, John was very meticulous in his manuscript by making sure he doesn't introduce Jesus the same in every situation. He's not going to introduce Jesus the same twice. And so it's important for us to know that the introduction of Jesus Christ was so significant because he introduced Jesus and he set the tone for the message to that particular church was going to be. For instance, to Ephesus, he introduced Jesus as the holder of stars. To the church of Samaria, this church was persecuted yet faithful. And so John wanted them to know that Christ was the first and the last, the one who died, but the one that came back to life. To the church at Pergamos, this compromising church that had given in to the pressures of the world, John wanted them to know that Christ was the owner of the double-edged sword. To the church at Thyatira, John introduced Jesus as the one whose eyes are blazing like a fire. To Sardis, this silk stocking church and no light, John introduces Christ as the one who holds the seven spirits in his hand. To the church at Laodicea, John introduces Jesus as the ruler of creation. But what interesting, my brothers and sisters, that when John introduces the church of Philadelphia, in verse 7, he introduces And these words, my brothers and sisters, were exactly the words that these believers needed to hear. In Philadelphia, they needed to hear. And the reason being was because the church
yeah.
The first thing this phrase means to us, it means that your days of being denied is over.
Was opening the door for me to tell somebody about the goodness of of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What the Lord is saying is that he's opening doors for us to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord is telling us that no longer can you keep to yourself the good things that God has done for you. No longer can you do that. No longer can you keep your miracle hidden. No longer can you keep your deliverance to yourself. No longer can you keep your spiritual gift to yourself. But God is going to create opportunities for you to preach the gospel. Not so much behind the pulpit. Not so much in front of a large crowd. But God is going to fix it so that you can help. Hallelujah. Tell somebody about the love of Jesus. God is saying, I'm going to allow you to come in contact with people that have gone through the same stuff that you've gone through. You're going to meet people who are broke just like you were. People who are confused just like you were. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you're going to find yourself opening up your mouth, telling people, baby, if he did it for me, I'm telling you, let God sing.
He says that my days of being deceived are done. Say for me too. Let me look at this text. Who claim to be Jew, but are liars. He says, watch it now. I'm going to make those liars fall down at your feet and acknowledge that you are really loved. Are you listening to that? Because what this text is saying, as soon as God finished dealing with the doors, hallelujah, that were closed, he's going to deal with the deceivers that was undercover. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Part of our problem is that we have let wrong people speak into our lives. Oh God. Not wrong people speaking into our lives. Wrong kind of influence in our lives. And so the Bible says that God is going to uncover getting defeated because God is going to keep you. You ain't got to keep yourself. God said, I'm going to keep you. Hallelujah. And that's shouting.
I don't know about you, but I have improved.
God love church. The Lord allowed me to see where you come from. I knew some of the stuff that you went through. The door was open, but Satan tried to enter.
The devil does.
doing with this. I use them all the time. It's football season. And of course, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. They can sink.